In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How does it feel when you know that someone is present to you? What do we mean by that? Well, we often use that phrase to mean that we feel someone is really with us. They are focused on us, not distracted by other thoughts. But they are really listening and offering comfort if that is needed. May we all cultivate that capacity to be present to others. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, demonstrated such an empathic presence with his friends. In John's Gospel, and particularly chapters 14 to 17, that we call the farewell discourses, because Jesus is preparing his disciples for him to leave them, Jesus shows such compassion and understanding, including a deep understanding of the disciples' fears of abandonment, of being left. "I will not leave you orphaned," he says. "I am coming to you." Why and how? Well, Jesus says that his going will be for their well-being and benefit, because the Father and the Son will send the Holy Spirit to be with them. With them. What will that mean? What will it be like? And who is this Holy Spirit? In John's Gospel, the word paraclete, in the Greek parakletos, is used uniquely by John to describe the Holy Spirit, although it's translated variously in different Bible versions as comforter, counselor, advocate, like our translation today, or helper. So often today we do settle for advocate, but there's a problem with it. It has legal or forensic overtones. I think to focus on that aspect misses the rich complexity that the Greek term paraclete, parakletos, actually has. Each time the paraclete is mentioned in John chapters 14 to 16, the closest possible connection you can imagine between the Spirit and Jesus and the Spirit and the Father is emphasized. The Spirit continues to reveal Jesus in the world after Jesus has departed. The Spirit glorifies the Son, reveals to us, like those wonderful images we see in the book of Revelation today, the glory of eternal light that will come one day among us. And we will know then what it means ourselves to glorify God and enjoy God forever, as the Westminster Confession says. So one of the roles of the Spirit is to be the presence of Jesus. What Jesus has meant for the disciples during his life on earth, the Spirit will be in every sense. They, the disciples, and we are not left orphaned. The love and care that Jesus has shown the disciples will continue. Canon Professor Dorothy Lee, the New Testament scholar, speaks of this as the Spirit continuing the maternal, nurturing role that Jesus has had with them. What a consolation this is! It's not a consolation prize in that meaning of something to hang on to as a memento, but a true and deep consolation for the role of the Spirit, as Jesus says, to be with you and in you. A deep abiding presence of the Spirit within the one who believes. The UK priest and poet Malcolm Guite describes it this way in one of his poems. The Spirit comes to share with you your every breath and to commune with you. To every heart that opens to him, he will bring new birth. And the wonderful thing is that we don't have to work hard to receive the Spirit. In John chapter 14, a couple of verses before the ones we've read today, we're told that it's not the believer who makes the journey via Jesus to the Father. So, you know, our initiative and our hard work. But the opposite. The Father and the Son journey into the heart and life of the believer through the Spirit. And the basis for this is the believer's love for Jesus and keeping of his word. And this abiding is the actual indwelling of the Father and the Son together, making a home within us, a resting place. So this gulf between God and us has been bridged, and it is God who has initiated it. So here we are, drawn by the Paraclete, the Spirit, into something wonderful, drawn into the oneness and intimacy of that mutual love relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that cycle of love. Another role of the Spirit is one of guidance. The Spirit is teacher and interpreter, companion, guiding us into all truth. Now, this is a process, often with twists and turns, because we don't always understand, do we, what God, what Jesus, what the Trinity is about. The Spirit guides us firstly towards the light of Christ, the one who is the light of the world, who illuminates believers so we don't walk in darkness. The truth about Jesus is revealed to us as we open up to the Spirit. Now, this truth is not just revealed to our minds in an intellectual sense, though that is part of it, but also to our hearts. The whole of ourselves can be enlightened by the Spirit. Have you ever thought of asking the Holy Spirit to show you more about Jesus, to reveal more to you? We don't often pray to the Holy Spirit, do we? Perhaps it's not something we think of. But we can. The Spirit is very personal and dwells within us. Another role for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prays within us. And I mention this because of this parish's commitment to pray during this Eastertide season. And it's been wonderful that many of you, 36 and counting, have taken up this challenge. You have signed up, you've taken a prayer commitment card from the Narthex. Now, we have met recently, last Sunday, to encourage each other in this commitment. And we'll do so again, I think it's next week, if I've got my dates right, Sunday, June the 1st, during morning tea. And it was wonderful to hear people share about their prayer experiences. In thinking about the Holy Spirit and prayer, we draw here on what St. Paul has said about prayer in his letters, particularly the book of Romans. He recognises that prayer can be difficult, and he talks about the Spirit coming to our aid, like in Romans chapter 8. Likewise, he says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For when we do not know how we should pray, that same Spirit intercedes with groans too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes or prays for the saints according to the will of God. So, too deep for words? Unable to be expressed in words? How often do we feel like that in our prayer times? But it does not matter. We are told we don't have to use words. Brendan Byrne, the Jesuit priest and Australian New Testament scholar, says, "So perhaps most of the time we just need to be still, with confidence that the Holy Spirit is praying to the Father in the depths of our hearts, even when we cannot feel or sense that." We talked a little about this last week when about 12 people met to discuss our experience of prayer during this prayer commitment season. As one well-known spiritual writer says, if we fail to make progress in our spiritual lives, it could be because we simply won't sit still and let our God love us. Sit still under a canopy of love. Place yourselves in God's presence. This divine love for us all is indeed our hope. Paul's understanding of the Spirit is this felt, palpable experience of God's love. Earlier in Romans, he has said, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. So the Spirit within us is a hope commitment that nothing will ever get between us and the love of God. As Paul says again in another part of Romans, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus was energized by the Spirit in his ministry, energized by the Father's love, and we also can be energized and carry that relationship in which we dwell through the Spirit, the dynamics of the love within the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can carry that into the community and into the world. So our mission here at St. John's and elsewhere as we move in the world continues the presence of divine love. More and more may we open ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. More and more as a church community, may we open ourselves to the presence of the Holy Spirit within us and among us. I see that happening already. Our prayer commitment program is a very hopeful sign of what is occurring in this parish, in this prayer endeavor, and in many other ways. God bless you all. Amen.